Hello and welcome to the Formula Scout podcast. My guest this week is FIA Formula 3 champion Dennis Hauger. Hauger opens up about a troubled 2020 and the mental struggles that came with it, and also how he rebounded to emphatically take the title in 2021. We also talk a little bit about 2022, as well as his backstory in motorsport. Enjoy. Dennis Hauger, welcome to the podcast. FIA Formula 3 champion. You've had a little bit of time now to really sort of digest the past year and the past 2 years. So how does being FIA F3 champion sort of sound, and how does it feel to you now?
Sounds pretty good. But yeah, I think, you know, I had fun with friends and family and celebrated, but after that it was just straight back to focus forward for next season already. Prepping for that, home now, and working on it. But obviously the feeling is still nice, and an indescribable feeling getting the win in Russia. So it was nice, and a memory I will have with me for the rest of my life, of course.
Yeah, certainly. You still had a race to do after you clinched the championship. You had a little bit of testing to do as well. So was that little bit of testing a nice way to say goodbye to the Formula 3 car?
Yeah, I mean, it was nice, a lot of laps. And wasn't a good day. Got some mileage and obviously it was not with the team, but still was enjoyable. I think it's one chapter closed, and then try to open the next one.
Mm. Yeah, certainly. Let's talk a little bit about that chapter as a whole, because it's the Formula 3 chapter is one that perhaps didn't get off on the right foot. You've been very public before in press conferences and so forth, talking about the struggles that you faced in 2020. I'd like you, if possible, to go into a little bit more detail as to really sort of what went wrong in 2020, and also how you were able to bounce back from that in 2021.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, I don't want to say any shit about the team I had in 2020 either, but I think the main difference was me just the way I could work with Prema this season and really get like how I wanted the car and how I could find myself confident in the car, which allowed me to push the limits and push at a little bit of a limit in the end, which wasn't really something I was able to in 2020, where sort of set up weather same old season, although I wasn't really happy about it compared to my driving style, which made it really hard to obviously progress. I tried to change my techniques and everything, but nothing really seemed to work. So I was just struggling, and I was living in the UK at the time as well. So I never got home to reset or anything. I was just in a bubble whole season, and it was not really easy. So heading into the 2020 season was quite like, really had to try and build up my confidence and my mental game again. And I think that was really important heading into the first round. Worked hard with the team to just get everything clear in my head and everything. And then getting the pole position on the first weekend was really a confidence boost, I think, for me to just, clear everything out. And then, okay, I can do it. And then you go, which was hard last season. So it was really a relief and something that I will bring with me, I think, to never doubt myself and my own skills.
Yeah, certainly. And I think it's very, very good that a driver as young as you are, you know, all you young drivers can make me feel very old, but you're so a lot more open to talk about mental struggles and things like that, I think, than perhaps the previous generation of drivers and the generation before them. So I think it's good that you are able to be open about these things and to use that to your own advantage, and as something that fans and so forth can use, so I get, you know, as a bit of guidance for themselves as well.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I've always felt pretty strong mentally, like on a racetrack. But I think last year or 2020 was one of the hard ones for me in my career. So I think, but still, I think I definitely built some strength on it and brought it into this season. And I think, like as a journey, it was nice to bring and then come back this season and really bring it home was just extra special in that sense.
Certainly, and you did it with Premier. Premier is such a good outfit to be with. Of course, it's the team that won literally everything they attempted in 2020. So I think a lot of people came into this year sort of assuming as a second year driver, you know, a Red Bull back driver as well, with Premier, you know, clear championship favorite. But I don't think it's quite as straightforward as that. You know, you always have to be able to adapt to a particular way of working and so forth. But you just seem to fit into that outfit like a complete glove. It seemed like such a seamless transition for you.
Yeah, to be honest, I connected really well with the team straight away, and I've spent a lot of time in Italy with them as well. And my engineer I got in 2021 was my first engineer ever in single seaters, so that's, I already had sort of a good connection with him, so it was nice to really build up from there, and he knew, you know, how I am and everything. So it was really easier to build up that mental game again and everything. But yeah, I mean, as a team, we weren't as dominant as they might have been before. I mean, I don't remember what my teammates came 9th or 10th in the championship. I can't remember, but Trident was quite strong, especially the second half, like in Spa and stuff. But to be honest, once we got everything to work, we've been there always, and I think we've shown that quite nicely. So it was just mainly Spa, for example, where we were a bit lost and came a bit back in the last race, but we figured it out a bit too late. So yeah, overall, I think just always been quite confident with them and had trust in what they do. When we talk and when we communicate, we get it together and fix what we need to. So that's been really nice this season, to be honest, and one of the better partnerships I've had.
Yeah, certainly. As a bunch of heavy goods vehicles drive past my house, so I'll kind of have a bit of fun editing, I think, later. But so you mentioned Trident already, but as you came into the season, did you have your eye on any other particular drivers, someone like Fred Vesti, for example, ex-Premier, of course, with ART, or do you think it was a bit more of an internal battle when, you know, within the team when you were coming into it?
To be honest, I didn't really know what to expect exactly. For example, Vesti, I was going to be sure he was going to be up there. He was up there the year before and he was still in a pretty good team. So that was one of the competitors that I would say. But otherwise, I was quite focused on myself and just building everything up I could on my own with the mental and everything that. But within Prema, I didn't really know what to expect exactly. I mean, Ollie, I've never really raced against. And he also struggled a bit in the first season, a bit less than me maybe sometimes. And Arthur, I've raced against in F4. So I knew he was going to be up there when he was there, but he struggled a bit with consistency sometimes and maybe being a bit too aggressive here and there. But when he was confident, he was up there. So I didn't really go into the season with too high expectations on who or what. It was just focusing on my own and doing what we could do, because in the end, on that first qualifying, we just got to nail everything, and that's what we did, and not really focusing on what everyone around is doing.
Yeah, certainly. And qualifying is something you pretty much had nailed down across the season. There are only two times, if I remember correctly, you're outside of the top two, which is quite remarkable, especially in a season with what turned out to be a unique format where arguably qualifying wasn't the be-all and end-all of a championship run. But it's one of the questions that was asked you so after you became champion, and something that you didn't really sort of think about at the time. But were you able to have a little bit of time to think about what factors were the ones that made you so strong throughout the year?
I mean, the first thing I would say would be consistency. I mean, especially in the first half of the season, we were always getting a decent result in race one, like top eight, top five, and then also into race two, we did a decent job just stamina limitation, while some of the others struggled sometimes, and then some things happened and they got out of the reverse grid. So I think that was one of the main keys for us. Obviously, I think the racecraft I had this season it builded up quite nicely, I would say, especially from Barcelona race two, where I had the crash. I think from there on, I really, something clicked in my head in terms of that. So we just build up that confidence from that mistake. So I think that was almost one of the keys as well, that we managed to have always move forward into the reverse grids. I get some points because it just some points every race, and then suddenly you have 20, 30 points extra. So I think those two were one of the key moments. And obviously qualifying, getting a good qualifying was important for me as well. I worked a lot with that over the off season last year to really just nail everything on that first lap, which the work seemed to pay off. So I think those three were one of the main ones this season, just keeping that consistency throughout, and not doing too many mistakes. I had that crash in the beginning of the season, and from then on, I think I really got like my mindset really changed after that, and I really managed to just keep that keep those points going into the races.
Yeah, certainly, and I completely agree with everything you said there. You had four wins throughout the campaign, and I think each one of them was sort of special in its own particular way. But do you have a favorite one that stands out for you? Because I know I've got one in my mind, but I want to see whether you agree or not.
I got to think now. So I won in Barcelona, Hungary, Zandvoort, and Rebelring.
Yeah,
probably Rebelring would be one of the better ones. I mean, I didn't really think that I would suddenly win from P12. I was just getting some positions, trying to get up to top eight or top five. And then suddenly I was in the top five and fighting. And then I was in P4. And then suddenly the two in front of me crashed, which was sort of expected, to be honest, because last year we saw as well, it was the exact same crash almost there. And they were fighting into that corner for so many laps. I was just trying to push it and wait for something to happen. And luckily it did. So that was one of the better ones, I think. Also, I would say the very first win in Barcelona was quite special, just because, it was just such a tough season last year. And then going into the season, getting a pole position in that first win was really just... a few kilos off my shoulders, so that was nice.
Yeah, certainly. And the Red Bull Ring one is the one that stood out for me in particular as well, especially with the added context of everything that happened that evening as well, with the investigation due to, I think it was a plank or something like that. Red Bull Ring was quite remarkable, and that exact collision happened back in 2019 as well, if I remember rightly, between a couple of the Prema drivers. So it was quite something. So I guess we should sort of look on to 2022 a little bit now, because Red Bull's already come out and said that you'll be racing in Formula 2. I don't think you're actually aware of it at the time when that press release came out, so that must have been a bit of a shock. But just sort of where are you at with getting 2022 plans sorted? Is there sort of a particular time frame for when something might become a bit more clearer?
I'm not sure yet, but I think in heading into the Abu Dhabi test, I think we'll know more after that, or maybe even before, but at the moment we're just focused on getting the sponsors and everything together first of all, but obviously the goal is F2, and I will be in the test, so in Abu Dhabi, so we'll see from then what goes on, but yeah, just working as I am now on the sponsors and everything, and then we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And do you know which team you'll be driving for in that test in Abu Dhabi yet?
I don't even know if I can tell you yet.
Oh, dang. Well, I mean, you can't blame me for at least trying.
No.
But
I almost got nervous as well now.
It's fine. So looking ahead sort of to 2022, you know, should you be in Formula 2, we're going to work on the assumption that you will be, but how will you sort of approach that season if you've had a chance to really sort of think about it? Because I mean, you spent a couple of years in Formula 3, but will you go into Formula 2 next year thinking, right, I can go for another championship here?
Yeah, I mean, always going into another series, another class, it's never easy, especially with such a limited amount of testing. So, yeah, I mean, if we get there into next season, it's going to be about really building up that confidence in the car. As I had, for example, with Prema this season, I really built up that confidence and I was on it straight away. So it's just about, yeah, building it up and getting comfortable with the confident with the team and the car and the setup and everything. You know, it's a completely, or it's not a completely different car, but it's a different driving style I've heard. So, and everything with the pit stop, and it's a bit more tire deg as well. So, it's a few more things that comes into play. So it will be interesting and cool to see. And I'm just looking forward to get there. But it will be, yeah, it's just an approach of not getting your expectations up, I think. Just working on what you can do and what you can control and then take it from there. As I said before, just never doubt myself. Always keep working there and then we'll see.
Yeah, certainly. And you've mentioned sort of managing expectations and so forth. But I think you will have gained a lot of fans this year off the back of your success. And I'm sure they'll have very high expectations coming into next year. But how has the reaction been, sort of like not just at home, but just across social media and well, the wider media as a whole, following your championship success this year?
Well, yeah, it's grown a lot. I think when I had beginning of the season, I was like maybe 15,000-20,000 followers on Instagram. Now I'm like 80 or so. So it grew quite a lot, especially in Norway as well. It's just never really been, motorsport has never really been the big thing. It's more like winter sports or football. But especially after the Netflix series, it exploded quite a lot. And then me doing well as well, it's grown a lot, and it's cool to see the interest obviously growing here as well. And obviously, yeah, just generally, it's been quite a lot more than what I'm used to. But it's cool to see people watch and being interested in what I do, obviously.
Yeah, certainly. So, and that really sort of brings me on to sort of the last bit of the podcast, really. And it's just getting to know Dennis Hauger a little bit better, I think, because I mean we spent a lot of time chatting face to face and press conferences and so forth, and it's all a very not a particular, well, I wouldn't say intense environment, but it's not a, you know, not the most relaxed environment in the world. So like I don't actually know a huge amount about you the person as such at this point, other than I'm pretty sure I saw you race at Brands Hatch in Formula 4 quite a few years ago. So just a little bit sort of like about yourself. You mentioned like not motorsport not really being a huge thing in Norway. So how were you able to get into a sport that's particularly niche in that part of the world?
Yeah, I mean, basically it started with my dad. He was rallying when I was a kid. So when I was 1 year old, I was having already the suit on and following him. And then I got my first quad when I was 2. So I had the diaper and I don't know what you call it.
The pacifier dummy, yeah.
Yeah, and driving around. And then I got my first motocross bike when I was 4 and then karting 4 or 5. So it started really early and me and my dad was just going to the tracks and fixing on the kart and having fun, what we both love. So started really from there straight on. It's always been something that I've loved doing. It's never really been anything else. I've done a lot of other sports as well from when I was younger, but yeah, it was not really anything that gave me the same type of adrenaline.
Yeah, certainly. So do you look up to your father as your racing hero as such, or is there like a circuit racer that you particularly look up to?
Yeah, I mean, he's always been there, and I've teach me stuff, and we've done things together on the track, and I think it's a good role model to, you know, to work with and to be with growing up, and have spent a lot of hours and enjoyable moments together on the tracks. So I think he's probably one of them, that's for sure.
Yeah, certainly. Do you have a particular favorite car that you've driven before? I'm pretty sure you've driven like a Porsche sports car at some point in some random club meeting somewhere.
Yeah, I've tried Porsche GT2 RS, which is quite cool, and also the new Porsche GT3 RS now that came out this year. It's quite cool to just drive on the track. Obviously, I haven't tried it on the road, just on the track. So, but those two are quite cool, and I'm actually maybe getting to be a Porsche ambassador in Norway now. So maybe you'll see me one, but I don't know. But no, those Porsche are the Porsche GT3 and GT2 are really cool and cool to drive as a normal road car.
Yeah, certainly. So would you say that those are probably your favorite racing cars that you've driven, or is there a single seater that stands out for you?
Single seater, like I wouldn't say anything compares to single seaters in general, like downforce and the G-forces aren't really comparable to normal racing car, I would say. I've tried the Porsche GT3 in the Scandinavian Carrera Cup, but it's quite fun, to be honest, because you can really use those curves because it's quite softer, obviously, than a F3 car. But still, nothing really compares to single seaters, in my opinion.
Yeah, certainly. So just sort of like a couple more, really. How do you spend your free time, especially sort of coming into the winter months now? Are you the sort of person who does like to go and do some extreme sports over the winter period, or do you prefer a bit more of a relaxed couple of months?
No, I mean, now I spend a lot of time with sponsors and working on that. But then going into the winter, you know, we have a lot of snow and it's cold here. So we do some ice karting and ice driving with the cars, which is good fun. And also I think it's good to just get a sort of feeling of the car and the weight transition and everything. I think you learn a few things on it. So I've always done that since I was like 6, 7. So I think that will be some things I will be doing in the winter, but training and just prepping for next season in the end. It's a lifestyle, so it's not so much else to do.
Yeah, certainly. It does seem to be a recurring theme with racing drivers across the globe, really. They do. I think the common misconception is that you all just sort of lounge around on a beach somewhere nice and warm over the winter months. But I think, you know, a lot of people fail to understand that you do spend it's an all year round thing. Basically, you're training constantly for what's coming up in the future. So keeping fit and ready is always more, you know, very important. It's something that I don't do, which is why I'm not a racing driver, plus a lack of talent. But really sort of the last one to close off, I think, you spent 2 years in FIA Formula 3 now. How do you reflect on your time as a whole? Because it's been a heck of a journey, not just from a result standpoint, but from a mental and emotional standpoint as well, as you've already discussed a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's been an important few years for me as well, especially this one doing well. It could have been hard to keep going forward if it didn't go well this season as well. But yeah, I think obviously if I could have been good and at the top as a rookie, I think if I had the confidence as I had this season, it would have been fine. but it was a few factors that didn't make that happen. But I still think it's still a journey, you know, you learn so many things on the way. And in the end, I think I could bring some things into this season. And I think my mental game has just been strengthened from before I went into the 2020 season, although it went quite down. I really think I worked my way up again. And yeah, getting the championship was just really, really indescribable feeling after a 2020 season. So yeah, I think it's years I will take with me, and I think it's a lot of experiences that gained me as a driver.
Yeah, certainly. They're very cliche phrases, but things like never give up and so forth, it just sort of encompasses that, I think. But thanks very much for taking a bit of time out to be on the podcast. I'm sure that everyone's going to enjoy this one for sure. Enjoy the winter months, and hopefully see you in Formula 2 next year.
Thanks a lot, man.